The Golden Bough. A Study of Magic and Religion. By Sir James George Frazer. This audiobook was produced by Klaus-Dieter Mond, Rastatt, Germany and is published under the conditions of the Gutenberg Organization. Chapter 22. Tabooed Words. Section 2. Names of Relations Tabooed. It might naturally be expected that the reserve so commonly maintained with regard to personal names would be dropped or at least relaxed among relations and friends. But the reverse of this is often the case. It is precisely the persons most intimately connected by blood and especially by marriage to whom the rule applies with the greatest stringency. Such people are often forbidden, not only to pronounce each other's names, but even to utter ordinary words which resemble or have a single syllable in common with these names. The persons who are thus mutually debarred from mentioning each other's names are especially husbands and wives, a man and his wife's their parents, and a woman and her husband's father. For example, among the Chifras a woman may not publicly pronounce the birth name of her husband or of any of his brothers, nor may she use the interdicted word in its ordinary sense. If her husband, for instance, be called Yuhai-Fanpaka, from Impaka, a small feline animal, she must speak of that beast by some other name. Further, a Chifra wife is forbidden to pronounce even mentally the names of her father-in-law and of all her husband's male relations in the ascending line. And whenever the emphatic syllable of any of their names occurs in another word, she must avoid it by substituting either an entirely new word, or, at least, another syllable in its place. Hence this custom has given rise to an almost distinct language among the women, which the Chifras call, women's speech. The interpretation of this, women's speech, is naturally very difficult, for no definite rules can be given for the formation of these substituted words, nor is it possible to form a dictionary of them, their number being so great since there may be many women, even in the same tribe, who would be no more at liberty to use the substitutes employed by some others, than they are to use the original words themselves. A Chifra man, on his side, may not mention the name of his mother-in-law, nor may she pronounce his. But he is free to utter words in which the emphatic syllable of her name occurs. A Kyrgyz woman dares not pronounce the names of the older relations of her husband, nor even use words which resemble them in sound. For example, if one of these relations is called shepherd, she may not speak of sheep, but must call them, the bleating ones. If his name is lamb, she must refer to lambs as, the young bleating ones. In southern India wives believe that to tell their husband's name or to pronounce it even in a dream would bring him to an untimely end. Among the Sidaiaks a man may not pronounce the name of his father-in-law or mother-in-law without incurring the wrath of the spirits. And since he reckons as his father-in-law and mother-in-law not only the father and mother of his own wife, but also the fathers and mothers of his brothers' wives and sisters' husbands, and likewise the fathers and mothers of all his cousins, the number of tabooed names may be very considerable and the opportunities of error correspondingly numerous. To make confusion worse confounded, the names of persons are often the names of common things, such as moon, bridge, barley, cobra, leopard. So that when any of a man's many fathers-in-law and mothers-in-law are called by such names, these common words may not pass his lips. Among the authors of Minahasa, in Celebs, the custom is carried still further so as to forbid the use even of words which merely resemble the personal names in sound. It is especially the name of a father-in-law which is thus laid under an interdict. If he, for example, is called Kalala, his son-in-law may not speak of a horse by its common name Kawalo. He must call it a riding beast, Sasakajan. So among the authors of the island of Borneo it is taboo to mention the names of parents and their parents-in-law, or even to speak of common objects by words which resemble these names in sound. Thus, if your mother-in-law is called Dala, which means, betel, you may not ask for betel by its ordinary name, you must ask for, red mouth. If you want betel leaf, you may not say betel leaf, Dala, mun, You must say Karen Fenner. In the same island, it is also taboo to mention the name of an elder brother in his presence. Transgressions of these rules are punished with fines. In Sundao, it is thought that a particular crop would be spoilt if a man were to mention the names of his father and mother. Among the Nafuas of Dutch New Guinea, persons who are related to each other by marriage are forbidden to mention each other's names. Among the Connexians whose names are thus tabooed are wife, mother-in-law, father-in-law, your wife's uncles and aunts and also her granduncles and grandaunts, and the whole of your wife's or your husband's family in the same generation as yourself, except that men may mention the names of their brothers-in-law, though women may not. The taboo comes into operation as soon as the betrothal has taken place and before the marriage has been celebrated. Families thus connected by the betrothal of two of their members are not only forbidden to pronounce each other's names. They may not even look at each other, and the rule gives rise to the most comical scenes when they happen to meet unexpectedly. And not merely the names themselves, but any words that sound like them are scrupulously avoided and other words used in their place. If it should chance that a person has inadvertently uttered a forbidden name, he must at once throw himself on the floor and say, "I have mentioned a wrong name. I throw it through the chinks of the floor in order that I may eat well." In the western islands of Torres Strait, a man never mentioned the personal names of his father-in-law, mother-in-law, brother-in-law, and sister-in-law. And a woman was subject to the same restrictions. A brother-in-law might be spoken of as the husband or brother of someone whose name it was lawful to mention. And similarly, a sister-in-law might be called the wife of so-and-so. If a man by chance used the personal name of his brother-in-law, he was ashamed and hung his head. His shame was only relieved when he had made a present as compensation to the man whose name he had taken in vain. The same compensation was made to a sister-in-law, a father-in-law, and a mother-in-law for the accidental mention of their names. Among the natives who inhabit the coast of the Gazelle Peninsula in New Britain, to mention the name of a brother-in-law is the grossest possible affront you can offer to him. It is a crime punishable with death. In the Banks Islands, Melanesia, the taboos laid on the names of persons connected by marriage are very strict. A man will not mention the name of his father-in-law, much less the name of his mother-in-law, nor may he name his wife's brother. But he may name his wife's sister, she is nothing to him. A woman may not name her father-in-law, nor on any account her son-in-law. Two people whose children have intermarried are also debarred from mentioning each other's names. And not only are all these persons forbidden to utter each other's names, they may not even pronounce ordinary words which chance to be either identical with these names or to have any syllables in common with them. Thus we hear of a native of these islands who might not use the common words for pig and to die, because these words occurred in the polysyllabic name of his son-in-law. And we are told of another unfortunate who might not pronounce the everyday words for hand and hot on account of his wife's brother's name, and who was even debarred from mentioning the number one because the word for one formed part of the name of his wife's cousin. The reluctance to mention the names or even syllables of the names of persons connected with the speaker by marriage can hardly be separated from the reluctance evinced by so many people to utter their own names or the names of the dead or of the dead or of chiefs and kings. And if the reticence as to these latter names springs mainly from superstition, we may infer that the reticence as to the former has no better foundation. That the savage's unwillingness to mention his own name is based, at least in part, on a superstitious fear of the ill use that might be made of it by his foes, whether human or spiritual, has already been shown. It remains to examine the similar usage in regard to the names of the dead and of royal personages.